This is David Williams from the Health Business Blog. I'm speaking today with Mark Fisher, candidate for governor. Mark, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, David, for having me.
Mark, does Chapter 224 represent the right approach to addressing rising healthcare costs? And if not, where would you say it misses the mark, and what would you do differently?
Well, as to the approach, I think it is the wrong approach. It's a huge, costly government intrusion. It reminds me of the Grace Commission. Back in the 1980s, there was a federal commission that was supposed to reduce the cost of government. And after they spent tons of money, tons of consultants looking at it, it sits on a shelf in Library of Congress, and it's unimplemented. In going through Chapter 224, there are some things, and I'll get into them, that I do like, but it creates two huge new entities and seven different task force and committees that employ each or total 100 different people. And it's taking supposedly $50 million from the casino licenses. It's just a huge government intrusion, and I don't look to the government at reducing costs of anything. So I think it's the wrong approach. There is some good in it that I do find. For example, I do agree with the proposal to eliminate the limit on the number of physician assistants that can report to any one doctor. I think that's a great thing. And I also believe that a patient should be able to choose to have a physician's assistant as their primary care provider, and Chapter 224 does allow for that.
There are certain provider systems in Massachusetts that are reimbursed significantly more than others for the same services, even though there are virtually no differences in quality. In your view, does the state have a part to play in addressing these disparities?
The state involvement, no. However, you know, this goes back to buyer beware. The problem is that we, as the buyers, the patients, have a middleman called the insurer. We all believe, as individuals, we can't control the costs. It's between the providers and the insurer. When we go for services, it's the insurer who ends up paying the hospital or the doctor. If patients had more of a say in the selection, let's say, of routine care, office visits and such, and they had insurance only for more serious care, then we could start to address some of these problems, because then we could see the differences in these costs, and we would be paying them out of pocket, which we could afford to do because the premiums for this, you know, serious or catastrophic insurance only would be much lower than the premiums we're paying now. So I agree with the analysis of the problem, but we have to be the people who have to see those differences and then make the decisions accordingly. And we can't do that right now with the insurer paying for all those costs.
Mark, there are more than a dozen state agencies that have a role in healthcare. Is there an opportunity to consolidate or rationalize them?
I like the use of your word rationalize, because usually when I think about government, I don't think about reason involved with that as well. But of course, we can consolidate them or even eliminate many of them. And I think if you were to approach these agencies, I think the thing to ask is show us, you know, how or if they've actually reduced costs, all right? And then weigh that against, if they have, weigh that against how much they've actually cost the hospitals, the insurers, and the patients. You know, they exist to employ political allies. We have the highest premiums in the nation. We've been in this experiment now with Romney Care for 9 years now. It was supposed to reduce costs. And we have the highest cost in the nation, and it's going to happen with the Affordable Care Act throughout the country. So, we do have an opportunity to consolidate or even eliminate many of these agencies.
Government policy, and this is both at the federal level and the state level, has encouraged the adoption of electronic medical records. Mm-hmm. However, many providers complain about the systems, and the benefits have been slow to materialize. Should state government play a role in helping to realize the promise of health information technology?
Once again, there's sort of a common thread here about the government's playing a role, and I say no, and the reason for that is this. The benefit of such technology should be plain for all to see. If it isn't plain for all to see, there's no way that the government is going to make it clearer. The government's just going to make it worse. They're going to claim that they've made it better. And then they're going to send us the bill for their services. So, again, if there is a benefit, then it should be plain to see, and it should be implemented by those who are using it, and the government is not going to play a role in that at all.
Hepatitis C is 3 or 4 times more common than HIV. There's new drugs that can cure the infection that are coming on the market this year, but they're very expensive. What role should the state play in ensuring that residents are tested, linked to care, and have access to these new medications?
Well, I think the government should have a role here, but I think that it's best in the area of prevention. Hepatitis C gets spread through the use of sterile drug paraphernalia, needles, or through unlicensed facilities that are using such things, either performing tattoos or body piercings. Let's make sure that those facilities are not spreading this disease. And then also, we have to make people aware that hepatitis C, it's also a sexually transmitted disease. It's an STD. So again, the government has a role to play here, but I think its focus should be more on the area of prevention.
Mark, there are multiple healthcare-related ballot questions. What are your thoughts about them?
There are some that are reasonable, like limiting the number of patients that are assigned to a nurse. However, in general, I'm wondering if it's a legislative approach that we need, whether that's the best way to go. So, for example, if the patient-to-nurse ratio is made known to the public, they can decide for themselves which facility they would prefer to use or be treated in. So, again, in general, I think many of them are well-intentioned. I just don't think that making a new law is the best way or best approach to achieve them.
What have you learned in your business career that will be useful as governor?
As a small business owner, myself and my employees, we've been the victim of big business insurers. For example, multiple insurers have refused to provide health insurance to my employees. And the reason they do is, and they told me this, I reimburse 100% of my employees' deductibles. They refuse to provide insurance unless I agree to cut the reimbursement in half, to 50%. And when I first heard this, I thought it was craziness, but my broker told me no, because if an insurer sees that an employer is reimbursing their employees a majority of the deductible or 100% like I do, then the employees are more apt to do elective procedures. And of course, that costs the insurers more. So what I've learned from that is that they are more concerned about making big profits than they are in providing care for the patients that are paying the premiums. That's the number one thing. And then also, in running a small business, it's like the way I run my family, my life. We balance our checkbook, we live within our means, and we have a healthy dose of common sense. I think those are the things that will make a big difference on this issue and all issues on Beacon Hill.
Much of the emphasis in healthcare reform is on adult patients. Is there a need for a specific focus on children's health?
There is. There is a focus on children's health as well as adult. We shouldn't confuse that. Healthcare, you know, is provided to different age and gender and other demographics, and I don't like pitting one group against another. We do not have to provide equally amounts of dollars to each group to say that we're treating them equally. I've seen this play out even among charity groups, you know, a particular disease or illness, trying to raise more money for one versus the other. I don't think that's a good way to go. We do the best we can, and we know that it's not going to be perfect, and we provide the best available care with the means that we have. I don't like this divide and conquer mentality or pitting one group against another. We're a commonwealth, and I think if we believe that and try to do the best we can, we will best serve all the different groups under our care.
Mark, I very much appreciate the fact that you've been willing to answer all of the questions that I have set out here, but I'd also like to give you an opportunity in case there's anything that you'd like to add that I haven't asked you about.
I think there might be 3 quick points. We've learned, either in Massachusetts and now we're learning nationwide, that government intrusion into healthcare is bad. We've been lied to. We've heard if you'd like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. That's not the case. And that the Affordable Care Act, as well as the statewide laws that we have here in Massachusetts, have actually driven up costs And it's time that we learn from this tragedy and try to keep government out of this area. That's number one. The second one, I would challenge insurers to expand these lower premium, catastrophic only insurance plans. And the reason for doing that, it would allow patients the flexibility to choose routine care based on the wide range of price differences that we see in the market. And this competition in and of itself will lower overall costs. And then lastly, on a third point, let's open up the marketplace to all insurance plans across state borders. We've seen how that worked with regard to auto insurance in the state. Premiums came down by over 12% when that was enacted a few years ago. This, too, will lower costs through competition. But first, we need to reject the Affordable Care Act in order to realize these cost savings as well.
I've been speaking today with Mark Fisher, candidate for governor. Mark, thanks so much for your time.
Great, David. Thanks for having me.